When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Saquon was also a god last night. He was a god. Let's listen to Saquon after the game talking about if he knew he was coming close to various records, you know, one of which he got last night, which was the Eagles' single game rushing record. And he was within 41 yards of the all-time NFL single-game rushing record. Here's Saquon after the game.
Are you aware, like, as the game's going on, that, you know, you're closing in not only on your season, single-season rushing record, but also the Eagles for, like, a single-game record?
I'm not going to lie. I looked up, and I saw it was at 173, and I said, I wish I never saw that. And it worked. But, like, again, I'm a big believer in if it happens, it happens. Let it come to you. It was 4 minutes. We were trying to put the game away. Yeah, I did look up one time to see a replay of the run, and I saw that where I was at, and I literally said to myself, I wish I never saw that, because you know, you don't want the, that's just the devil talking. That's just how I look at it. So I just kept my head down and just kept trusting the system, and we popped along.
Look, Saquon last night, he's on pace right now. He is on pace to break the single season rushing record, which has been held by for 40 years by Eric Dickerson.
It's an unbelievable record.
It's an
I'm telling you, Joe, I don't even think it's going to be close. I think Saquon can break this record.
Yeah, here's the problem.
I think he can
three
do it.
Three easy games,
I think
though.
He can
they
do
don't
it in
need
five
it.
Games.
Three easy games. Giants, Dallas.
Okay.
Carolina.
Carolina. All at home. All that should be salted away in the third quarter, and they might sit him.
Maybe.
So the thing that helps them is that they're going to be in a fight with Detroit for the one seed.
I agree with you there.
That helps.
But it's also that what is the mindset of the coaching staff, of the play callers? Yeah. It really does matter.
Well, of course it does. Look, here's the other thing. I'll give you two. One, the Eagles lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So you're not dealing with a team that doesn't know the heartbreak of what happened 2 years ago at the end. So I do believe clearly the main objective will be to win the Super Bowl, as it should be. The other thing I'll say, though, is that, well, there's so much to this. There's also Saquon, like, I know we have the audio of the one time on the bench when he's like, nah, let the other guys eat. But we also know Saquon was held back for so many years in New York. I mean, if you got striking distance on the rushing record, you might want it. I mean, you might. I'm not just because one time he's quoted as saying, let the other guys eat.
We're talking about,
doesn't mean he's not going to want that rushing record.
He also wants to win.
He does want to win.
Because he's never won before.
I agree.
Before,
It's got a lot of complications
in there. It's nice to be him.
It is.
It really is.
It really is fascinating.
I expect him to just dive into this, like pour himself in just the way he's doing it now. I expect he can blow this thing open. They're going to keep giving him the ball. He is in such a zone. He's going to blow it.
Here's the thing.
He's going to break long runs. He's going to have another couple hundred yard explosion in the very near future.
If he gets 250 every game, he's going to get there in three games and we're fine.
250 a game. Yeah, exactly.
I like that thinking, James.
250 a game.
Did you see what Dallas Goedert did to him after the game?
No.
He pranked him. He put a drug notice in his locker.
Oh boy, yeah.
They do that after players have big games.
Big games sometimes. So Sirianni, one of the things Sirianni does a really good job with, and I hope people are ready to give him some credit. I'll even give you an example last night. That play that I don't think they were going to run. You know, fourth and
the hard count.
One. Yeah, like that's Sirianni. You know, that's Sirianni.
He's been great about that. Always that type of
James,
stuff.
James, I had a buddy about a month ago, these games all run together, but a buddy about a month ago when he had one of them and they didn't run. It was like down at the goal line or something. I don't know what the hell it was. But my friend's like, you know, what's the point of that? What are you trying to trick? Well, you do it 10 different times. Maybe one or two times you get the other team to jump
offsides. It drives me crazy when teams don't do it.
Right?
I'm like, why wouldn't you?
It
like, what's the downside
in like two
here?
Other games yesterday I was watching.
It's a thing. Yeah. And Sirianni is at
And Jalen seems to be pretty good at the hard count. This has happened a few times.
And defenses are freaked out because they know how hard it is to stop the tush push.
They're all geared up for it.
Totally. Anyway, Sirianni's not going to get the credit for that locally or nationally that he deserves, but he does deserve credit.
How about the credit for the declining penalty?
Credit too. The players need credit for the NFL to clean that up.
They do.
No, but he got away with it in this situation, and like playing it as long as he could to get away with it.
But the NFL,
he got
away with it. It's a disaster. I couldn't believe it when they changed it. I was like, "What do you mean?"
It was like 30 seconds later.
What are we talking about? They're lined up to do the play. What is happening? Yeah,
I thought same thing. Anyway, I think Sirianni a couple times this year we've heard him with messaging to the team as he's related to us sometimes in the interviews, sometimes press conference, sometimes you even hear it in the locker room post game. I like his messaging. He had another one last night I thought it was really sharp. Here he is, post game podium, his mentality, 9-2, his message to the team, 9-2 in the midst of success.
Everyone's going to be telling us how good we are. Everyone's going to be telling us, you know, this is you're one of the better teams. We don't listen to that. All we got to do is put our heads down and work. Just like when people tell you you aren't good enough and you got to block it out and put your head down and work, it's the same situation here. Because I think what's going to happen, obviously, and this is what I told our team after, is, you know, everyone's going to be calling you. The media is going to be telling you how good you are. The fans going to be telling you how good you are. That all doesn't matter. You know, all that matters is that we go back to work, get ready for a really good opponent. All that is rat poison, which we'll say, you know, all that is rat poison. So please don't tell them how good they are. They played really good today, but we got a lot of work to do. We made some mistakes, you know, coaching mistakes, playing mistakes that we got to correct. If we want to do things, you know, we're into trying to do something special. And to do that, it's going to take the work day in, day out.
Phenomenal victory. Phenomenal. First time since 2022 versus San Francisco, the Eagles looked like that. All these wins the Eagles had, they hadn't looked like that. And last night was the first time this year, in my opinion, and I would think this is shared by many, that they looked like the kind of team the 04 Eagles were, 2017 Eagles were, and 22
totally.
Eagles were. Those
totally.
Three teams were on such a different level. And
they outclassed
they
other
did.
Teams.
And this team, even 6-2, 7-2, 8-2, I never felt they had that. Last night they had it.
And the Rams, a desperate team, desperately needed to win. Best, like, quarterback-coach combo, you know, they faced. Receivers,
Eagles
running back.
Apart.
They tore them apart.
I mean, the referees handed the other team two touchdowns. Yep. They weren't pass interference.
They were 0-for-8 on third downs.
Yeah, Rams. And Jalen was great, and he was running for first downs. I mean, the Eagles just totally controlled this game. Let's get to Rick in Easton. Seth Joyner in about 25 minutes joins us. Rick, good morning.
Yes, to John Ritchie's point real quick, I wonder what would happen in the Rose Bowl over the years if you bought those cushy Pac-12, Pac-10 teams to play that Rose Bowl in Michigan or in Ohio over the years.
I'm very confused. I don't know what you're talking about.
When John Ritchie said cold weather.
Oh. Yeah. Cold weather makes a difference. It really, there's a different sort of toughness. Not everyone has it. Just like football, there's a different sort of intelligence. There are geniuses, like spatial football geniuses. Some people who can tell you what 22 people did at the end of a play. Some of my coaches, I know that they could do that, and I was always amazed by that.
So real quick, you know, you all know this, and I know, John, you know this. At all levels, whether it's high school, college, or the NFL, the offensive line is the nucleus of the success of teams, bottom line. And when you put Barkley behind that offensive line, you really there's a lot of great possibilities that can happen.
Well, but, you know what's another one, Rick, that has to be pointed out, man, and this is a Howie and Stoutland thing. Becton. I mean, he was a joke with the Jets. He was a joke.
At a different position.
At a different position. So it's two guys now this year. Becton on offense and Vaughn on defense, where they changed his position and he's flourishing.
Bond is, oh my God.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
You know, yesterday there was a play where, I think Collinsworth talked about it. Hey, nice job by Fangio peeling Zach Bond off on a play to stop a drive route. You know, like that underneath stuff where Puka Nacua, yep. It's called a drive route, the shallow. It's like 5 yards deep where he's just running from one side of the field to the other.
And he's good at that.
It's a man-beating route, mm-hmm. a drive route in the West Coast offense. Fangio had Bond peel off from what his normal linebacking duty would be in that case, which was, I guess, following a back or doing something, right into the passing lane. And he is so adept somehow. A guy who was once a pass rusher, an edge rusher in New Orleans, is now the guy that we put in, like, the athletic space, I'm going to cover your best receiver,
which is a wild concept if you think about
it. It is a wild concept, yeah. Because now we also have N'Kobe Dean, the other linebacker, who I thought was smallish and not explosive, and now he's the guy that we send more often than not on single backer dogs. Hey, go green light, man. Go get that quarterback, and he'll run over your back en route.
Yep.
He'll blow you up, and it's just so unlikely.
John, I'm amazed by N'Kobe's physicality.
Me too.
Like, let me say
it's
something.
Amazing.
And I mean this as this is not meant as a joke, nor is this meant to disrespect N'Kobe. He's not that much bigger than me. Like, he's not. And yet he is flourishing in pro football. I mean, yeah, obviously he's got more muscles than I got. But, like, he is not. Yeah, he does. I'll give him that, Rhea. But he's not that much structurally bigger.
No, when I met him at the free throw thing, I was like, wow.
Right?
He's just not that big.
But and he is playing good.
That hit last
really,
night.
Oh, my God.
Devastating.
He really packs a punch. He does. Let's listen to Lane Johnson. Boy, does he pack a punch. Lane talking after the game last night about Saquon, who packs his own punch. Here's Lane Johnson on Saquon Barkley.
I could talk about the great job of the offensive line, but how much easier is it for the offensive line when you have a running back like Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I mean, he's a truly dynamic player. I mean, you've had multiple weeks to see that. And, you know, we stay consistent with the run. You know, had some stops early, but eventually those creases hit. Huge plays. You know, we controlled the clock there in the second half. Defense played a really good job against Stafford. You know, great receiving core. And really, you know, the Rams have a good D-line, man. But, you know, good execution by everybody. Glad to have him on my team, you know, after all these years.
I got to tell you, full disclosure, earlier this year, and perhaps as recently as 4 weeks ago-ish, I did not think the Eagles could become a great team. I thought they could have a pretty good record. But I didn't think they could become a great team. I didn't think they had it in them. They have become a great football team. And there's a lot of reasons why. Saquon's the biggest, but there's a lot of reasons. How it sounded last night, the Merrill montage, we'll get to that shortly. Plus, more from Brandon Graham after the game. The very unfortunate reality, he's out for the year. And as he announced it last night and then talked about it, we'll get to that shortly. Plus, Seth Joyner in about 20 minutes. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
It is a good morning indeed, guys.
Yeah, big time.
I did real quick on Brandon Graham, not to, you know, hint at what could be, but I just think he's just such a perfect lesson in patience, resilience, and he talks all the time about, you know, you guys every week. It's like they're always building towards something. They're building, and I really think that kind of enthusiasm permeates the locker room. I mean, I read what Jordan Davis had to say, and it really resonates with everybody. So I from a character leadership standpoint, I still think he's going to play a very integral role.
I agree. Totally agree with that.
It's not easy. I hope he's able to. He is so established and so venerable that he has the power to persist probably more than most guys who get injured and who are on IR.
And but how well he was playing.
You exist in two different worlds when you're IR and when you're regular rostered, to where it really is a strange, like, navigating both. It's tricky, and I'm sure just like everything else, it's going to take a while for him to get good at it.
Yeah, and another one thing about the defense. you know, I'm not saying Puka Nacua is not a, wouldn't be a good receiver in multiple schemes, but they, I mean, he was absolutely lethal between the 20s. And then, you know, outside of the two gifts that they got in those pass interference calls.
That was a joke.
They, I mean, there's no such thing as empty yards. I mean, he had a big game, but it, you know, that's kind of the Vic Fangio philosophy at its best. You know, you may give up some yards. It's sort of the, it's the bend but don't break, but they were also very aggressive at the same time. So,
well, you know, look, I agree with you, and I'll say this, though, Ed. The Rams' offensive line killed Stafford. It reminded me a little bit of the Cincy game with Burrow. Like, you know, the guy can throw, and he can survey, and he can deliver the ball. But, I mean, Stafford was under incredible duress. And I got to give Jalen Carter credit. We wondered coming into this year, and we wondered in September, if he could get to the Fletcher Cox, Jerome Brown, year two type of play. And it looked to me early this year like he was not getting to that level. And then you look at the last month, and I think, you know, here we go again in a good way where the Eagles have a spectacular interior defensive lineman who should wreck shops for years.
He played all the snaps in the Washington game, and he 54 out of 64 yesterday, last night.
Yeah, that is really, Ed, great phone call, man. That's really rare and impressive. Let's listen to Brandon Graham after the game when he announced that he's out for the year.
Then tore my tricep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got chipped. Got hit in my elbow. Tore my tricep, but, man, hey. Like I told the boys, man, we got the missing. The missing still the missing. You know, we pour everything we can into this game. You know, if I say I trust God, I trust God. So, man, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm about to enjoy this little rehab, and then I'm about to enjoy leading the team, you know, the rest of the year. As soon as I can be back out there, I'm going to be out there. But, man, boy. Boy, heck, man, we was having fun out there. And we still going to have fun, but... I'm definitely, as a player, I'm out for the year.
One of the most special people, let alone players, we've ever seen in Philadelphia sports. Brandon's scheduled to be with us in studio tomorrow at 7:40. Now, we'll see ultimately if he's able to do that. You know, who knows what today looks like. I mean, I'm sure the team probably landed an hour or two or three ago, and, you know, they're going to have to get him treated, and I don't know how soon they do surgery or what, but BG, we'll see if he can make it in here tomorrow. If he does, obviously be with us for half an hour. Let's listen to more, because somehow, some way, even in the midst of this kind of thing, he maintains great positivity. I don't know how he does it. It's an incredible credit to him. Brandon Graham, positive in the midst of an injury.
Like, I can't tell people to be like a certain way, and then when it's my turn to be like that, I got to be like that. And so I tell guys all the time, they go out, man, we praying for you, we doing this, but I'm doing this. I'm taking my own advice, and I'm making sure I'm having the best attitude I can have. I'm sure, you know, I'm going to cry about it, but it ain't going to be too long, and then I'm going to move on to the, all right, how can I help my team from the sidelines? And that's the biggest thing I could do.
He is, he's a marvel.
Yeah.
He is such a special human being. And that's part of what makes it sadder that he's injured, because he is someone we, and I don't mean just us here, you know, that knows him on a personal level. We, the city of Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Eagles fans everywhere, we really care about him.
Yeah.
We really, really do. And so you hate when you see an injury like that. But I do believe, you know, he will have a role, even in the midst of being injured. Kind of like Jason Peters did back in 2017 when he was helping Big V.
I really think he can help these young players.
I do too.
And maybe, you know, not being in the game can give him even greater focus at times. You know, he can see more from the sideline, examining some things that maybe these kids,
well,
these
how about
younger
just watching,
players
watching
wouldn't
their,
be able to.
Watching their tape, John. I mean,
of course,
who knows
yeah.
how often he watches Jalix Hunt's tape? I have no idea. Probably not that much, if I had to guess. I mean, now, other than rehabbing, you know, he can really dig into stuff like that and really help the Jalix Hunts and the Nolan Smiths of the world. All right, by the way, Saquon, we don't want to lose sight of that. It was an all-timer. It may have been the best game played by an Eagle since Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, which, James, would be the best game played by an Eagle since Michael Vick in 2010.
Yeah.
Am I connecting dots the right way?
I think absolutely. I mean, Shady in the Snow Bowl, but obviously Saquon was better last night. Yeah.
Berge when he made 34 tackles in the 70s?
Yeah, for
34
sure.
34 tackles in a game. Let's listen to how it sounded. Not in a 34-tackle game, but in a Saquon Barkley just Bo Jackson game. Let's listen to how it sounded. Merrill and Mike last night with the call.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
If the Eagles are going to have the best conference record and number one seed, this game against the Rams is a big game.
Hurts back to Barkley, and Barkley just drags people with him. Back to Barkley again. Barkley takes it to the outside. He's at the 35 and steps out of bounds at the 30. I don't know how he regained his balance. He looked like he was about to hit the ground. He was like at a 90-degree angle. Hurts this time gives off to Barkley, who tries to sweep. Comes across the 30, carries people down with him. Boy, is he tough. Hurts. He's looking. He is firing. And it is caught for a touchdown. A.J. Brown. Stafford backpedals. Here comes the rush. He's hit. They've got him. BG. Oh, was he walloped by Brandon Graham. He never saw him coming, Mike.
Unbelievable job off the edge by Brandon Graham.
We have reached the end of the first half with the score. The Eagles, 13-7. This time it goes to Barkley up the middle, across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 70 yards.
He was shot out of a cannon.
He fires, he completes it, and running is Barkley down to the 30, to the 25. To the 20, to the 15.
He's a hell of a player. He's the best in the league. He's the best at what he does.
It goes to Gainwell. He wiggles to the 5. He's in to the touchdown. He's in for the touchdown.
You're not going to lose a lot with Kenny G.
Stafford, hands off inside, and getting trapped and dropped and thrown back this time is Williams.
Brandon Graham, once again, Merrill, he's the first guy there. He's the disruptor. It's BG getting into the Rams' backfield once again.
Back goes Stafford. Here comes the rush. They've got him again! There is Milton Williams.
Yeah, this offensive line cannot block the Eagles' bigs up front.
He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, uh-oh, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy?
That is an all-time Eagles record. Breaking the record of Shady McCoy. He is breaking it. He's buried it. Oh, my goodness. And the final score, the Eagles, 37. The Rams, 20.
Well, it was a really, really, really special victory. And I'll tell you, you can hear it in Merrill's voice. I mean, you can just hear the way he's calling some of those moments. That first Saquon touchdown run when it's, you know, touchdown! And then, like, and then another touchdown! I mean, he was going nuts. And rightfully so. Last night, for me, for the first time this year, was the first time it felt really special. Really special. Not like, hey, my team's got a good record. We're a great record. But my team might be the best in pro football, and my team might win the Super Bowl this year. That's last night to me represented a lot. And by the way, it also put Saquon further up the mountain as far as MVP possibilities, now third in certain spots for MVP odds. And also, he is now in striking distance for the most yards rushing in NFL history for a single season. He has a shot. You know, right now he's got 1,392 yards. Eric Dickerson holds the record at 2,105. Now, that, of course, a 16-game season back in 1984. Saquon with the benefit of the 17th game on pace, as of right now, to get 2,151 yards, which would break the record. He needs 714 in six games. Absolutely amazing.